Blog Talk Radio.
Hang on, man. Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and I thank you so much for joining us, and I hope everyone had a great weekend. Happy Monday, if you want to say that. My favorite is, tell me what I don't like Mondays. You know, you remember that one? Oh, my God. Anyway, happy Monday. I hope your week's getting off to a good start. A lot of crazy shit going on again, so in the world. So, but anyway, we're going to escape that tonight, and we're going to speak to just an amazing, amazing musician. My God, I can't even tell you the things that he's done, because it's more like what has he not done. So tonight, with the pleasure and honor, we have composer, songwriter, conductor, and you name it, Mr. Randy Edelman. And I thank you, Mr. Randy Edelman. Thank you, Randy. Thank you for coming on the show. How are you, sir? Randy? Hello? Hello? Hang on, guys. I don't hear anybody on the other side. Anyway, I don't know if you guys can hear me, but I can't hear Randy. Randy, if you can hear me, can you call back, please? I'm sorry if that's you. I believe that's you. Phone ending in 6600. Thank you. All right, guys. I don't know if we're having sound issues here or not. But anyway, we're waiting for Randy to give us a call. I believe that was him. Not sure if he got disconnected or if we're having a technical issue. I really don't know. But what I will do is hold on, let's see. Hang on, guys. Hello, Randy?
Yeah.
Hi. Hello. How are you? What happened?
I'm good. I'm sitting out in the cold. What's up?
Cold. What is it? Tell me what the temperature is there. Don't make me come
there
and smack
you. I don't know,
but
I'm not in my fucking house in Beverly Hills. I'm in New York talking to you.
Oh, you're in New York. Oh, God. So you're the same thing as me. I'm like, today I was just like, it's a little bit chilly. Every time I say it's chilly, that's the thing that comes to my mind. But yeah, I forgot you were in New York. My apologies. That's you're freezing your ass off for sure. So am I.
Okay. Yeah,
well,
but
anyway,
got some clothes on.
Well, why don't you have clothes on?
Because I was just inside and I came out. Don't worry about it. I'm good.
Don't worry about it.
Originally, so I can take it.
I know. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that. You're originally from Patterson. You know I'm in Clifton. Did you know that?
No, but I'm not from – I was born in Patterson.
Right.
I lived in Teaneck.
Right, right. And I'm also originally from Harrison. So I know Teaneck. I mean, you know, I know Patterson.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so.
Who doesn't?
Well, it's been a long time since I've been there. But, I mean, that's where I was – my family's from. That's where I live.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, but you're used to this weather. I mean, not all the time, because like you said, you're out from L.A., but my goodness. So I since you're freezing and you have no clothes on, I don't want you to get pneumonia. Let's get right to it then. So
it's okay.
You gotta,
I did my show Saturday night, so I'm fine.
Yeah, I heard it was great. I heard it was great. Where was it?
It's at this, I mean, I don't know too much. It's called the Chelsea Stage. It's fantastic. Gorgeous venue on the 26th Street. Really good. Good sound.
Nice.
Perfect kind of spot for someone like me who I don't really do that kind of thing that often. So, but it's a good spot.
Right. And I know I was telling Eileen that I saw, I don't know if you know him, his name is Shay Arender, and I went to see him at 46, was it something, Swing 46, that was it. And that was such an enjoyable evening to see a beautiful performance, and I can only imagine what your performance is like. Your catalog is huge, so my God. And talking about music. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of music,
Right. And to see you in that kind of setting is probably just amazing, a wonderful evening. You know, is it like a dinner show thing?
Yeah, but what I do is not like that, so people have to sit down and shut up. Nobody sees you when I'm playing.
Right.
They do have dinner there. But I did, you know, about 2 hours, and I kind of mix up all my movie scores and the songs. It's turned out to, I mean, I've done this all over the world many times,
right,
sporadically, mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you're getting up and you're doing songs. But right now, it's sort of my story, because I'm playing songs that I wrote years and years and years ago, and then this and that, and lots of people recorded them, and then later I got into TV scoring and film scoring and conducting, and it's sort of a life tale. So right now I took a lot of time to put the film scores, which of course I do with the London Symphony at Abbey Road or wherever it is, but I have to do them and kind of transcribe them, which for me is not that hard to do for the piano. So I'm playing a song, and then I'm playing My Cousin Vinny, and then I'm playing The Last of the Mohegans. You know, these are much different kinds of things that I've composed. And so I have to figure out a way to make it all kind of part of a piece. I mean, it's all coming from me. That's where it all came from in the first place. But in order to present it to an audience, you kind of have to work at it. It sort of looks like I'm winging it, but I'm not at all. You know, it's hard to.
Yeah, well, because
you've got to put it together and stick to it.
You're really a musical genius, because you write any type of style, and it's just, it's amazing, you know. And you don't really look like that type of guy to me. I just mean you look like more of a pianist who plays mellow ballads and stuff. But you don't. You've written so songs.
That's a part of it. But I was never. I was kind of a serious musician. The songwriting thing was just by chance. Yeah, that was completely by chance. I never planned to be a songwriter. I never planned to be a film composer. You know, I was a musician, and, you know, with a lot of traditional background and conservatory graduate and all that kind of stuff. So too long a story, especially when I'm sitting out in the freezing cold.
Well, I did want to ask you, did you write? Did you put out your albums first and songs were chosen off of your albums, or did you write specifically for soundtracks? I mean, like, who booked to, and like, how did it all start?
Well, hold on. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean soundtrack? You're talking about films?
Yeah. Like, did you already have an album out?
No. I had a 20-year career all over the world before I ever scored a film. That's what I'm saying.
They came to you. You put your own music out, and they came to you and liked the song.
Film scoring has nothing to do with that. They're two different. It's like being a bricklayer and a chef. You know, nothing.
Right.
To
so
do
how did
one
the two?
That, yeah.
How did the trains meet? That's what I'm saying.
Let's put it this way. You have to have the musical chops to do that, and you don't get that. Most people, you know, that do songs, they can't even begin to approach it, and they don't, which is why nobody can or does. But I happen to have a certain background, and I did other things. But the answer to your question, I think, is when I started doing these albums, which is when the music business changed, you know, and it's no longer a music publisher taking a song to a record producer at a label who has a number of artists on that label who they produce. Suddenly, obviously, by the time of Bob Dylan or the Beatles or the Eagles or anybody who was selling records, they all wrote and produced their own stuff. There was maybe a little sliver of people selling records who didn't write their own material. I mean, we all know who they are. But mainly it was, you know, a self-contained group, be it, you know, we could name 20 of them right now. So if you were a songwriter, and I wasn't really a songwriter, but liked, had any aspirations of doing that, guess what? You had to write your own songs and do your own albums in order to get those songs heard, because nobody else was going to record them because everybody was writing their own stuff, you know, except for a handful of people. So that's when I got into it. You know, like I said, it's a, my thing is not, you know, oh, how did this happen? I mean, it's a series of, as far as me, and when I look back, a series of events that took place that I was in the right place at the right time, which for many people doesn't mean anything, because you got to be able to produce whatever musically it is that that is. If I started out playing in the pit of Broadway shows, which I did, I had to be able to do that. If a singer asked me to conduct their act in Vegas, each thing I had to be able to do. Unfortunately, I loved music and I was adaptable, and I had this very big traditional musical, you know, classical background, along with a great love of melody and songs. So I signed a record contract, you know, to like a 100-page contract that I just did what you shouldn't do, sign my name, figuring, you know, I'll do this album and nothing will happen. And if it doesn't happen, then I'll continue on, you know, that. And that's always been my attitude, to get an opportunity. But the point is, I was somehow ready to do all these different kinds of things. And that really went all the way through the many albums. I never wrote a song for anybody, even though everybody covered my songs. I just wrote the songs for myself and put them on these albums. And then that's how people heard them. You almost, it's almost like I didn't do them as demos. I did them for, you know, record
for
companies.
Your,
but
for your albums. Your personal original albums.
And it's sort of incredible over the years, the interesting stories and the interesting people who recorded Randy Edelman songs, not just Barry Manilow and Patti LaBelle and the Carpenters and you know, all these people. There's really interesting people. And time I got into scoring, well, I did a lot of scoring before I kind of hit it. When you break into big time Hollywood movie scorings and you've got to be, like I said, ready, there always has to be a break. And with me, crazily enough, when it happened, it was with someone who just passed away, the biggest comedy director of all time, Ivan Reitman. That was my kind of start in the, quote, big-time scoring arena. But I had done all this stuff before that. I won't even get into it. But the reason I'm telling you this is because it was such a the movies were so big that they weren't like, you know, it was like the first thing. I did Ghostbusters too, you know.
That's a
big score to do for someone that hasn't done a lot of the stuff. Then I did Kindergarten Cop and Twins with Ivan. Then I started doing like kind of little hip things like My Cousin Vinny and The Mask with Jim Carrey and While You Were Sleeping. And it seemed like I was the comedy king with different kinds of movies, even though you could put them under the, quote, comedy umbrella. So what happened is, here I am, this very serious musician, and suddenly I'm doing these comedies. And if I could play you, I wasn't writing funny or comedy music at all. Comedies are, and especially if the lead person is good, and all of these people in those movies were very gifted people, actors and comic people, you don't have to play music to them at all. If they're good, if they're funny like Jim Carrey or Eddie Murphy or any of these people, you don't have to play them. You're playing the romance, the action, a storyline. You know, you're not particularly writing funny stuff. So I got into it. That's how I kind of broke into that. but I didn't break into it when I was young. I broke into it after many, many years of everything you can think of, being a producer and everything else.
Right.
And then I had to kind of steer my boat in order to, because I wasn't particularly funny, although people may think I am, in order to, and it's very hard to do, like in any profession, if you do something, especially if you're successful and very successful, and there's a kind of a spotlight on you, in order to turn the ship around, as I say, you can't just do it. You can't just say, oh, I want to do serious films. So I made a conscious effort to do films which led to Gettysburg, Last of the Mohegans, Dragonheart, Triple X, and, you know. So then I really kind of spread my wings, and from then on I was a from then on I was really in the film score thing. Are you there?
Yes, honey, I'm listening to you.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm here. Yeah, we're listening.
To get out of the cold and speak to you.
No,
but,
we're listening.
So
I'm intrigued.
But so I will stop talking. So that gives you a little idea. But what I want to tell you and what sort of get back into something is all those years that I did all those films back to back, 24/7. I didn't have time to. I won't say something because I don't to go.
What?
You know what I mean?
Oh. Yeah.
The songwriting thing, that was out the window. I didn't care about it. I wasn't interested. It wasn't challenging like film composing is. And I just, I never even told anybody. The only people who knew that I had written any songs were a couple of times when I worked with directors from England, because England was the only place that my records as an artist happened. Crazy. It's a country that speaks the same language as us, but
well, they have a different taste of music,
you know,
that's for sure.
I left all that, and when I say I had no interest, I just didn't. And if people would ever say they would call me and say, how come you didn't write a song for that score that you did? There are no songs in movies anymore. It's not like people write River for Breakfast at Tiffany's. There's no songs in movies. If there are records that people put in to cover a montage or put in the end credit, but they're not really written for the movie. If a movie is song-based, like a Disney animation, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But
right.
So I had nothing to do with that until, and I'm bringing it around to you because you're going to play this stuff after I sat out here in the cold. I kind of started messing around, writing songs again, and then I wrote this COVID thing, which hopefully you'll play called Coming Out the Other Side. I mean, it's not a serious song about COVID. It's a fun up thing. And then so I'm back into it. And that's when I started doing, putting this kind of entity, this show thing together that I do, which now obviously includes all these different genres of music that I've done. But they're so disparate in terms of the genre and character that I have to make them have a common thread, which hopefully I'm doing, and I did on Saturday, and I'll be due back there in a month from now or something. So that's where I'm at. I'm really kind of in a good place where I'm open to anything. Where several years ago, if you told me I'd get back into anything that had to do with songs, I'd say that's ridiculous, you know.
Right.
But
right.
It's cool. So I'm like scoring a horror movie now here in New York, and did that show, and now I'll go back in a couple of days. So I'm still doing everything, but kind of, in a way, lightening up and not pigeonholing myself because I don't have to anymore, to be honest with
you. Well, for somebody who had no interest, no desire, my God, you're killing it. Jesus. I mean, like you said, I mean, there's
that I didn't have any interest. I didn't know where it was going. And at that time, I didn't, you know, I just didn't know.
I always
tell people like this. They say, you're a film composer, you're a singer-songwriter. No. I am, and proud to say it, I'm a musician. That's where it all comes from.
Exactly.
Kids now, it's a riot. They go to schools now that they study film composing, and of course they have a bunch of synthesizer and computer programs, and that's
right.
And I always say, the few times when I go to places to lecture to these for these kids, which I do very seldom. It's about the music. You better get your musical chops. I don't care if you're a trombone player or a pianist. Learn all the essentials, and you better be brilliant at it, or you don't have a chance. That's just the way it is, you know.
Well,
so when you get that opportunity, and it may be doing something that's so far removed from a film, it may be a music video or a jingle thing, and obviously it's about doing something, doing it well, and having there be somebody involved in that little thing that you did who's got a lot of ability and recognizes your ability, and they're going to take you with them to their next gig. That's how that's how it happens.
Yeah,
you know, people do an album and it sells a billion copies, and suddenly there's Elton John. There's nothing wrong with that, but it just, you know, that's few and far between.
Right, and advice coming from you, I hope they really do appreciate it, the kids.
Well,
you know?
it's like tough love, baby, you know. It's, it's just, that's the way it is. So anybody, it's like I said, I don't say it to be mean-spirited. It's just that
of course not.
Is not a singer-songwriter, not a film composer, not the hottest sports theme writer. Was like, for every year I did the Super Bowl and the Olympics and NASA, you know, space thing taking off. I did all that stuff, but it was an outgrowth of something that I had done musically that somebody heard, whether it be in a film or something else, and they said, hey, you know what, we want the sound of this, or they actually used it directly. That's happened a lot with me, but
that's
all
good.
Coming from I pulled the wool over everybody's eyes. I'm just that kid sitting behind the piano writing original music. And that's what I realized early on, because I could have done different things or gone a different way. I realized, you know what? The people that really can make a difference and move people come up with an original concept. And that way it's yours. It's a long shot. You don't have a net. But I realized that very early on. So it was all about me creating music, be it a song, a TV theme, an arrangement, a film score. That's what – and it turns out, thank God, I was right. That's
right.
Because it's mine. It's nobody else's. It belongs to me. It was created by me, good or bad. People like it or don't like it, or something was successful or not successful. It that has nothing to do with it, you know. You write a film score, it doesn't matter if it was the number one film of the week. If it was good, it's there. And the great thing about technology now and social media and everything, this stuff is around forever. It's not like you write something and it's got a show and then it closes. It never closes. It's going on and on. As we're speaking now, in every country of the world, I have a load of movies on. You know, it doesn't matter where it is. That's me. That's my little thing. And that, at this point in my life, gives you a really good feeling that you accomplished something. It has nothing to do with notoriety or money or anything. It's just that, you know what, you did that, and it's not in a drawer somewhere. That's what has to happen with anything. You've got to get this stuff out, be it a song 40 years ago, or if it doesn't come out and it's sitting in a drawer, you're not going to have the that kind of great feeling that you get when somebody seems to appreciate what you do, because they've got to hear it. So that's all part of it. And obviously, no matter how successful you are, very few of the things that you write actually come to fruition. And if you're fortunate, and a lot of them do, certain ones are obviously more successful than others, but then you get the feedback, and basically, you know, I never had a job. Did I work my head off? Of course I did. I'm still doing it now, but it's I didn't go in and punch a clock, you know. And I didn't start working for my father's CPA firm.
Well, so I mean, just to show that you, Right. Well, that's just to show out, just like you said, you are a musician. For you to be able to open for, just to mention two here, for Zappa and then switch to Carpenters to open for those two acts.
That was my first gig. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Was that your first gig?
Zappa? So who was your first, Zappa or Carpenters?
Okay. Remember when I said you had to do your own album because nobody else was selling records? Well, at the time, I could name three people, let's say. And one of them was a little brother and sister from Connecticut that went out to California, and they were called the Carpenters.
And, of course,
too long a story, how did those people hear my little album on an unknown record label and not only associate it, the brother, Karen, associated with the melodies of my song. Richard, the brother, who's a talented piano player like me and arranger, he associated with my piano playing, and they not only recorded some of the songs, which is, God, that's like at that time, that's unheard of.
Right.
But they took me out as their opening act, a kid who never sang in front of his mother or in a shower. First gig, 15,000 people.
Right.
That's all I can tell you. And then
after,
I won't even get into it because that's a whole movie in there and a riot and tragic also. After a few days of doing that, I get a call from the agency, one of them, William Morris Agency, and they said, after I did a couple of shows, you know, you do something, and suddenly, if you could do it, suddenly you relax. I did a couple of the shows with them. It was a big college tour, maybe 20 dates. After three or four, I'm sitting in Atlanta, and there's like 3 days off. I'm sitting with my feet up in some beautiful hotel, and I said, boy, this is incredible, you know.
Right.
How fast this will happen for me.
I can get used to this.
And it's really more saying, Randy, to be in Dallas for four days with Richard and Karen. I said, yeah. So we got another gig for you. And I go, what?
Wow.
You got another Emmy? They said, yeah. Get on a plane in the morning and you're going to Phoenix. Who's the act? Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. Now, you can't get any more diverse.
Exactly.
The whitest of white Carpenters and Frank Zappa.
Right.
But,
that's what I meant.
Say, wow, you better kind of, you better change up your show or do something a little different. Well, I couldn't do anything different. I only knew 10 songs on that album.
Randy, how old were you at the time? How old were you at the time?
Maybe 21.
Wow.
Maybe.
Sorry.
Yeah. And so that
interrupt.
Was my, that's how I was thrown in. You talk about being thrown in to the lines then, and you can imagine the people screaming at me and throwing crap at me and saying, get off, you know, the audience for Frank Zappa. Of course, it was great experience to go through that. And you know what? I didn't give a shit, you know.
Right.
I didn't care. It was a goof.
Right.
And then, so that was beginning, you know, of making all those albums. I went to Russia to score the first American-Russia co-production very quickly after that, and that's with the great George Cukor, the director. I mean, I've been involved with things that people see my, a lot of people, this goes on every day, think that I'm either the son of this other guy named Randy Edelman, or I'm just a different person, because I couldn't be the same person.
Right.
But I am. You know, I was young when I was doing this stuff, and things happen. And then somebody will see now, they'll see something from 1973, and they just don't put it together that this could be the same person who's scoring these big dramatic movies. But
right,
that's what it is.
Cool, cool. Well, I mean, that's it, baby. Yeah, amazing. Just a wild career, how it started, and like you said, your first one to go from a Carpenters to a Zappa show. That just goes to show your musicianship there. I mean, that you could just turn things off.
Well, you know, I had to be able. I don't know, but I didn't. You couldn't. Certain things you can make judgments on listening to a piece of music, but there's other things you just if you think about it too much, you just. I just would not show up. You know what I mean? I could have said no, but it all became, you know, part of a really wonderful, challenging musical experience. And that's what it all has been. You know, each thing, as diverse as it is, people, especially now that I'm doing you're talking to people like you, and they're going to play these records that I've gotten back into doing after so many years of not doing it, and I'm completely into it, along with everything else. It's like they just, it's basically, you know what it is? My life is a musical, and mm-hmm. that's the truth. Because everything that I've ever done that's had any meaning is related to music. And so, in fact, and that's when I kind of started realizing when I was putting this new stuff together, and that's what it is, and that's what all the people who were there, not only the other night but recently, that's what they are picking up on, because that's what it is. I'm telling stories, because there were stories about these songs
right.
and people that recorded them. And then how did you do this? And how did you suddenly write a TV pilot about chocolate bar makes a bomb that everybody hated called MacGyver? And everybody thought that it would ever see the light of day, the pilot. 35 years later, it's simply still on. You know what I mean?
I know.
Stuff like that. That's little sprinklings in there, you know,
right.
stuff like
right.
that. And people seem right. to get off on hearing about those things and how they happened. And, of course, everything has a pretty involved story to how they happened. And so I try to incorporate not nearly all of them, but a lot of the stuff that I play in this little show, a little show, 2 hour show, has and I don't get up. There's no intermission. I never get up. I sit down at the piano, and 2 hours later, I'm gone.
Nice. You know? There you go.
Well,
now, have you ever
sitting there, but it seems to be working out, so I'm enjoying it.
Good.
All right.
Have you ever written a book, or are you planning on writing one about your life? I mean, it sounds amazing, Randy.
You know what? I got to tell you, I mean,
It'd be a great book.
It may be a pretty entertaining book. It will be. It would be, but no, I don't have any interest in sitting down and doing that right now. Ask me maybe further on ahead, a couple of years, maybe I will. But I just, yeah, and you know why? Because I have more energy, and I'm doing more things, and various kinds of music and original things. I'm as busy and have a certain energy as I've ever been. So I think things like that happen not when you're retiring or anything, but maybe when you slow down a bit and reflect. And right now, I reflect a little more, because we all do as we get older, and we think about certain things a different way. But I'm just on the move too much, you know. I'll finish this score I'm doing here, and I did that show, and then I'll go back to L.A. on Wednesday and be into something else. And I'm having a ball with it. It's not like if I thought, you know what, you should just take some time off, and I would do it. But right now, no. And so writing a book is time-consuming, unless, you know, you just bring somebody in and you talk on a tape recorder.
Well, it would be a great book. I think you should consider it sometime in the future,
which I'm sure
you will. Now, I wanted to ask you, anybody who has done one of your songs, have you ever absolutely hated it? Or which one has blown you away?
Okay. Because my songs, even though they're very personal, except for there was a period of time where after I did a couple of albums, you know, and they didn't happen commercially, then, you know, everybody, the record companies, you got to write the 3-minute single with the big hook, where I wrote some things that I thought were not very good, but they were attempts. I very quickly got off of that. Because most of the songs are very personal, a lot of people didn't record my songs in terms of, there were other songwriters that have many more records, but the people who recorded my songs were really involved in them. So, and I could tell a lot of effort was put in. And so that's what I, there was nothing hated. Maybe somebody did a poor arrangement of a song, but nothing I could off the top of my head say I hated something, you know.
Not right.
Because really, they were all really into it. Because they were a little too complex musically and emotionally to do.
Right, right. Now tell us about the coming out the other side. What made you decide to go
that
avenue?
I was just sitting around having fun at my house in L.A. And, you know, the whole COVID thing was going, and I hadn't written a song, and I came up with an idea, a fun idea about, you know, grab your hat, put your best suit on. And I sang it into my phone, an idea, which I hadn't done in a while. And then I went out the next day and did it all in my backyard, played all the instruments, and that's where it was done, all in my backyard. And then I
very cool.
You know,
well, I would love for everybody to hear it. Wait, are you up for it?
Me?
Well, I knew you'd
you're
say,
playing.
Yeah, I'm always up for it. Here we go, everybody. This is Randy Edelman coming out the other side. Hang on, let's give it a listen.
So,
you wake up with a smile.
Are you on the phone?
On your face. 'Cause today you can run from your place. You've been locked
Joanna?
In your house all year long. But today you begin a new song. You've been pushed from your purpose in life and been scared by the edge of a knife. Now it's time to fight back and break out. Time to see what this life's all about. It just take a good look all around you. Let your heart be filled with pride. Grab your coat and take your belongings. Coming out the other side. There's a new kind of spring in your step and a fresh attitude you've got ahead. And a new spirit filling your space and a confidence. Your new face. So just take a good look all around you and let your heart fill up with pride. Grab your hat, put your best suit on. You're coming out the other side. You can look at the scene all around you. There's a mountain to climb if you dare. Just take hold and stand firm. Make a difference and learn that of course it can lead anywhere. Go on, go on, take a walk on the street where you. There's more in your tank you can give. There's a friend who needs help over there. So extend your good arm, show you care. And just take a good look all around you and let your heart fill up. Grab your coat and all your belongings. Hey, coming out the other side. You're coming out the other side. Here we go!
Very nice.
Now
very
that's funny,
nice.
Isn't it? Now, I'm now back. I'm in the restaurant with Eileen and Soho Johnny.
Hey.
So, you see, that is so unlike me in every way. You'd never guess that person is the same person that does all those scores.
Right.
But I had fun
right.
with it in my backyard.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I liked it. And, you know, is there a video to it?
Yes, there's a video. Why didn't you send her the video? Yes, there is.
No, because I'm picturing, for some reason, when I was listening to it, I pictured a blonde woman in high out in a wheat farm.
The video's not that great.
Well, I'm going to check it out. Is it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube. It's all over the place. Yeah. You can get
it
on YouTube.
I'll check it out on YouTube. Yeah,
save
I'll check
video,
it out on there. I will.
Now you're
playing
the other record?
Yes. Now, is this a whole album, or what are we just singles on?
No. I don't have time for that. No. It will be.
Okay.
You got to understand, this is all, this is on the fly, baby.
Right. Well, it was great. I loved it. And like I said, I was picturing myself seeing somebody out in the breeze in the high weeds.
Well, there's a breeze. There's a blonde in the breeze.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you guys are enjoying yourself. Do you want me to let you go and I'll play the other song? Or you?
No. I think we've covered it. Yes, I want you to play the other song. Very
of
definitely.
Course,
I'll
I'm
be
going
honest
to.
With you. And ask me anything more you want to ask me right now, and then we'll be gone.
Sounds
if
great.
There's something specifically.
Well, how could I let you go? Where'd that come from? I mean, obviously coming out the other side was about COVID.
Yeah,
not
much of a, you know what, just a really basic sort of well-known tale of love lost, sung by a very wonderful Nigerian singer, which I never do stuff like that I sang with her and produced and arranged the thing, and that's what it is.
Nice. I did want to ask you real quick, Deb, have you ever worked with David Foster?
Well, I know him very well, but no.
Yeah,
there'd be no
curious.
Reason for us to. Yeah, because we don't. Yeah. He doesn't do exactly what I do, but.
No,
I do
exactly.
What he does.
No, you're two different,
yeah, you
know. But that's us. You're both at that level. You know what? That's what I meant. I thought maybe you may have worked together. So, you know, you're both at that height there.
I'm sorry. The answer is yes, and I won't even go back into it. A long time ago on something, you wouldn't believe what it was.
What? You can't say.
Oh, my God. No, I can't say. I just saw my thing arrive. Okay, so that's it.
Well, Randy, real quick, tell everybody where they can get it and find out more about you before you jump.
You can just go to the randyedelman.com, my website. Right there.
Cool.
And any of the songs or scores, it's so great now. Just go to YouTube. You want to hear a score or a piece from a particular movie, you just put the movie in, my name and YouTube, and it comes up and it sounds great.
Wonderful. And he's speaking, of course, folks, about Ghostbusters 2, 27 Dresses, Kindergarten Cop, My Cousin Vinny, you name it, he's done it. So you will hear it. Well, listen, Randy, go enjoy your dinner. Thank you so very much for joining me.
Thank you.
I will I'll play the song. And where can folks see you? I think you're coming back in April to the East Coast, right?
Yeah, April 9th, Chelsea Stage.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, everybody,
right.
Randy Edelman, and thank you. Go to randyedelman.com, and you can find out more about his appearance on April 9th in the city.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Take
Great
care,
to be
Randy.
With you.
You
take
too.
You,
thanks.
Care.
Have a
take,
wonderful evening. Thank you.
Thank
you.
You
too. Bye-bye. Wow. Yeah, he was out with having dinner with actually a friend of mine, Eileen. So, and they're in the city. I forgot that he was in the city, and he joined us tonight because he's heading back to L.A. So we had to get him on the air before he headed back. So, sounds like a fun guy. I'm supposed to catch up with him in April, so I can't wait to hang out. And got a lot to say, man. What a career, though. You'd have a lot to say too. I mean, this guy walks on water. musically here with everything he's done. He's done one of my favorites, actually. He originally wrote Weekend in New England by Barry Manilow, and I love that song. I mean, I love Barry Manilow. I'm not afraid to say it or ashamed. I love Barry Manilow. Weekend in New England is one of my favorites. So, and I actually listened to Randy's version before we got on the show, and totally different. I mean, it's there, the concept obviously and everything, but Barry took it to another level, and you know, he just made it his personal, where before it was Randy's personal. So, you know, like he said before, once somebody gets it, they put their feel on it. It's just like when you shop a demo, it sounds like one person, but when you give it to somebody, they turn it into theirs, you know. But Randy, yeah, he's got a lot to say, boy. And I was having trouble because I kept combining his name with Danny Elfman, Randy Newman, Randy Edelman. So it's like, I don't know why, you know, I got that ADHD thing, I guess. I don't know. Sometimes my mind goes different places, and I kept in my head thinking of the three of them, combining the names. And but Randy is, wow. He's done, again, let me just tell you real quick. He's done the score for Ghostbusters 2, 27 Dresses, While You Were Sleeping, The Last of the Mohegans, as he mentioned, Kindergarten Cop, he mentioned Dragonheart, Triple X, Twins, My Cousin Vinny, The Mask, Beethoven, Dragon, Bruce Lee's Story, Anaconda, Mummy 3, Gettysburg, Billy Madison, Leap Year, The Whole Nine Yards, Ed TV, and TV shows, MacGyver, Mr. Sunshine, Backdraft 2 on Netflix, Citizen X, that was on HBO. I am reading, obviously. You know, I don't have this all memorized, right? And he has, which we didn't mention, I wanted to talk about. He mentioned it briefly, but I did want to talk about it. He has done the Olympic theme song for the last 20 years. So every time you hear the Olympics, it's Randy. So, ESPN Sports, he does the NBC. What else does he do? Like you said, the space shuttle launch, he did the Wimbledon. He does the music for that. And the people he's worked with, my God, Olivia Newton-John, Blood, Sweat and Tears. The Royal Philharmonic. Wow. Well, obviously, with his classical music background, he said he worked with the Philharmonic. I'm sorry. I'm reading and speaking. I can't do both. Of course, Barry Manilow, the Carpenters, we mentioned them as well. And his new song now coming out the other side, I kind of liked it. It was nice. And what I liked about it, again, was I was picturing like a wheat field where the wind wisps it by, and a girl like just like barely touching it, like an air touch with her arms and her hair flying. That's what I got out of it. I don't know, like a beautiful moment coming out to life, you know, the other side. You made it, you know. But his next song is How Could I Let You Go? And we're going to play that, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk real quick. I don't have much to say. Just wanted to let you know what was going on. You know what? Why don't we just do that and close with How Could I Let You Go? So we've got tickets, guys, up for grabs for the that's not it. This is it. Yeah. We've got tickets up for grabs, two tickets to see George Clinton, oh boy, over at the NJ PAC. And two tickets for the 90s All-Star Dance Concert over at NJ PAC. And they also have a couple of shows coming up. Go check out the website, njpac.org. Ron White, comedian Ron White. Oh, that's going to be hysterical. Alice Cooper on the 22nd, the 25th and 26th. Vic DiBenedetto. I always say it wrong. I know I do. And some great stuff coming up in April, May, June. Last night was the Chris Red show, hysterical, and I just love that place. It's gorgeous. If you haven't been to NJ PAC, you got to get over there. So hope everybody's going to have a great week. We are not scheduled to do anything until next week. We are going to start trying not to do any shows the last week. We've been trying to do it for months, but it just never happened. trying not to do shows the last week and the first week of the month. It's just way too much for me. But March is shaping up. Calendar will be updated next week. We got some great folks coming up for you, I promise. And we just got to book them and confirm the dates and the times for everybody. So once I do that, we'll be all set. The calendar will be all updated by next week. So what a pleasure again to speak to Randy. He's a book, fool. He's got a book, that's for sure. And like I said, I'm supposed to meet up with him in April, and I'm sure it'll be a long conversation, but well worth listening to, that's for sure. What a career on this guy. My goodness, I just can't. And that's why I think I kept, like, throwing Danny Elfman in there and everything, because he's at that level, too, with those guys. And David Foster, of course, is one of the greatest composers out there, too. So, but for more information, go to randyedelman.com, RandyEdelman.com. And you could also go to YouTube and look at all those movies I just mentioned. You're going to hear his stuff. And the website's got his own stuff that he started with. He wrote, that's what he was. He wrote his own music. So, and Coming Out the Other Side, which we just heard. So now we're going to listen to How Could I Let You Go? This is by Randy Edelman. Thank you so much, Randy, for joining me tonight. I enjoyed speaking with you, and I hope everybody enjoyed the show. So we'll catch you guys next week. Have a great week, everybody. Stay safe and stay well. Bye-bye. Thank you.
You will love me.
I was going to end the show. I loved that. Oh, my God. That was like, what's her face? Oh, keep me bleeding. Keep bleeding. Oh, what the hell? Oh, can't think of the girl's name. Oh, man, I really like that, Randy. Wow, I wish you would have stayed on the phone to talk about that. That was something. But see, oh, my God, you heard two different styles of songs from the same person. And oh, my God, pop in any movie. I guarantee he wrote this score. I mean, my God. Anyway, thank you again, folks. Have a good night. Randy Edelman. Randy Edelman, thank you again. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I really did like that. Take care, everybody. Have a great week. Let's kick it off with something muppy. Take care, everybody. Have a good night.
Someone reached in and grabbed it. What a rock, lost the job. Duck, duck, duck. Rock, lost the job. Underneath the waves. Lost.